Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Gabe National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Or at least they are. I have, in light of the recent technological difficulties I've been suffering, I have relocated rooms. So now I am coming to you live from a 14-year-old girl's bedroom. My sister, I should clarify. Yes, that is true. But it's Paris-themed. I feel like I am in a foreign country right now, and there's lots of pink around here. So that's where I am.
Love it. Love it. Love to hear it.
Thank you for clarifying for all the listeners out there. We didn't want to get you on any lists.
No, that there's enough lists floating around right now. I'd like not to be on one of those. So anyways, as we start hour number two, we always start things off with the weekend poll. And today's is a little bit of a more healthy debate between myself and Nicholas Frazier. And it appears the results of said, you still got 15 minutes to go vote, but the results of said poll are going swimmingly. We asked you today, who would you rather build a team around at the position of quarterback based on something Nick posed yesterday to Big Joe? Cam Ward or Jalen Hurts? We are split right down the middle, folks. 50% of people say Cam Ward, and 50% of people say Jalen Hurts. So with that, Nicholas Frazier, please defend yourself.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yesterday Joe posed a question to me, and it was, who would you rather have as a quarterback right now? Not in the next 3 years, 7 years, 10 years, whatever. Who would you rather have as a quarterback right now? For me, I said Cam Ward. And some people called in and they were, you know, saying, what are you talking about? And they kept trying to, you know, state that, yes, Jalen Hurts is a proven quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl. He's thrown to, you know, players like Greg Ward and a smaller, you know, smaller wide receivers and running backs, Kenneth Gainwell, Miles Sanders as a running back duo. I get all that, right? But the question was, who would you rather have at quarterback right now? And people will still say Jalen Hurts. And people are like, oh, well, why is there so much Jalen Hurts hate around the guy? I'm like, I don't hate him. I just would rather have Cam Ward, a young, in a roundabout way, a young raw talent that has, again, the upside. I'm going to try to leave that out of this conversation. But also, too, if we're talking about a quarterback right now, look at the situation each one of those quarterbacks is in. Jalen Hurts is in a, I guess in a respectful way, say an aging offense. Nobody knows what's going to happen after June 1st if A.J. Brown is traded to the New England Patriots. If that is the case, then you're still going to have to fill the void with that, and that's Devontae Smith's going to fill into that top, you know, wide receiver role. Then you're followed by Mekhi Lemon playing in the slot. Then you have Eli Stowers, two young players that were rookies out of this past year's draft. They have to adjust to the offense. They have to adjust to the chemistry of their quarterback. Same thing goes for Cam Ward in a certain extent. You have Alec Iomaner and Chim Dike, who were the two top targets last season for Cam Ward. And again, Cam Ward threw for 3,100-plus yards. And to me, that's impressive to know that you're throwing to two guys that are, you know, coming back this year, and you're able to kind of build more chemistry off of that. Yes, you bring in guys like Wandale Robinson. You have Calvin Ridley in the mix once again. You know, you go and grab, you know, Carnell Tate, the top wide receiver ever drafted by the Tennessee Titans at number 4 overall. To me, there's – I like the position Cam Ward is in as a quarterback, because I know that his talent, personally, in my opinion, is going to flourish more than currently Jalen Hurts' situation with a running back and Saquon Barkley, yes, an MVP caliber running back for sure. But I just see more upside with Cam Ward right now. Just right now, there is more upside. And again, Joe made a good point yesterday about the schedule when it comes to the Eagles. Eagles have the Bears right after the Tennessee Titans, after the Week 2 matchup. So it makes you wonder, could the Eagles overlook the Tennessee Titans? Is that something that might bode well for them? And again, it kind of comes back to the scheduling situation as well. The Tennessee Titans right now, we obviously know this, have no primetime games. They play every game for the most part at noon, and they have a full week to, you know, manage video, be able to look back and just scout teams. And to me, that is a perfect fit for Cam Ward to be able to, you know, compartmentalize what you have to get ready for and go about your day. And also Brian Daboll. There's an offensive coordinator that knows what he wants. This is a guy that wanted to trade up for Cam Ward last season when, you know, he was the head coach with the Giants. Then you also have the offensive coordinator in with the Eagles. I believe it's a new offensive coordinator, Sean Marion. That's a basketball player, but let
John Marion.
Marion, thank you. Yeah, I knew it was.
No, that's a basketball player.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, it's Sean Mannon. There we go. I knew it was.
There you go.
Something like that. Mannon, Marion.
Sean Marion.
Give or take.
No, Philadelphia Eagles coordinator.
Yeah, Sean Mannon. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it just. You look at that, now you, as a quarterback, have to adjust to a new offensive coordinator. Again, you're still going to have the tush push to rely on. You're going to have to just build chemistry with your wide receivers and tight ends, like I mentioned before. And, yes, they have a better offensive line than the Tennessee Titans. That was something mentioned yesterday in the conversations over the phone in text, is that, well, Jalen Hurts had, you know, Landon Dickerson. He had Travis Kelce's brother, Jason Kelce, at center for the longest time. Well, again, yeah. That's the situation that Jalen Hurts is brought into. Cam Moore's brought into a situation where they're trying to build back that offensive line. And if he can still throw 3,100-plus yards in his rookie season under a somewhat patchy offensive line, imagine what would happen if, let's say, J.C. Latham finally gets into his own at right tackle. Let's say Jackson Slater takes a big step forward. And again, these are all ifs. But if you can do all that, and let's say Cam Moore can still play well behind a patchy offensive line, I'd rather have that than Jalen Hurts right now. And people obviously think I'm crazy. That's okay. I would like the young gunslinging quarterback over a guy like Jalen Hurts, who, again, is a Super Bowl winning quarterback by all means. Yes. A game manager in some cases. Joe made another good point yesterday of, like, who would you rather have if you had to go 90 yards down the field for a game-winning drive? And he even said Cam Ward. And again, that is to the point of the, you know, raw talent. And I even made a good point about how Cam Ward is really good at just eluding, you know, pressure, able to just improvise outside the pocket and just be a raw talent. And that's what you need at quarterback. You need a risk-taking, raw talent quarterback that is willing to put it all out on the line. And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts doesn't want to do that. I'm just saying it might be the approach as an offensive coordinator that might be holding them back in that case.
Okay, a lot to unpack there. So I think it's fair to say that both quarterbacks are different based on the systems they play in. And obviously they're in a lot better situation or a lot different situations. One's obviously better than the other. But, you know, Jalen Hurts is playing for a Super Bowl contending team. Cam Ward is playing for what I wouldn't consider even a playoff contending team. So I think the systems are different there. I think right now, if you were to ask me who I wanted between the two, I would take the more proven quarterback. Just because I know what Jalen Hurts is capable of. I know he can make an offense flow through him because that Philadelphia Eagles offense does run through him. How many times, Gabe, does he take off and run with the ball and create some offense? It's pretty common for that to happen. And plus, I know he's capable of winning on a big stage. We've seen him win a Super Bowl. We've seen him win in big playoff games. We've seen him deliver in, you know, groundbreaking moments. I'm not saying that I don't think Cam Ward is capable of doing that. But we just don't have the film on him yet to say that. We only have a year under his belt. And I hope you're right. I hope that we go, you know, a year from now and say, yeah, I'd rather have Cam Ward. But we're talking about potentially a top 10 quarterback in the NFL and Jalen Hurts. I think if you're going to go across the NFC in terms of who is the best quarterback, Jalen Hurts is probably at worst number 3 behind Matthew Stafford. And you could make the argument of one of Jared Goff, Jordan Love, or Caleb Williams. I would probably put Hurts at 2, but I think they're very different quarterbacks and they're both in very different situations. But if you were to ask me who I were going to take today, it would be Jalen Hurts just because I know the proven commodity he is.
Not trying to deviate from the subject, but you think Jalen Hurts is a top 2 quarterback in the league?
In the NFC.
Oh, NFC. Gotcha. Okay.
I thought he's in NFL too, honestly.
I was like, NFL? NFC. I was like, okay, that's fair. We're just going to overlook Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
I was like, what planet is Connor Newt on?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
He's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but in terms of the NFC, he's probably top 3.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Fair. Completely
yeah.
fair.
Yeah, that's yes. fair. I was like, oh my goodness, NFL. No, I mean, you make a valid point there, Connor, for sure. I just, again, not trying to put the potential and the hopes into the conversation. I think the raw talent, what we saw last season, now that Cam Ward has, you know, you could say it. I mean, I'll say it, has a proven wide receiver in Wandell Robinson. We've seen what he's done with New York with Brian Daboll. Again, that's an offense they both know, and it's continuity coming to Nashville. I would say that, to me, I would take that over Jalen Hurts right now that doesn't have proven talent on that offense when it comes to Mekhi Lemon and Eli Stowers. Again, proven talents in college, but not the NFL. And again, it's kind of the same point that we're kind of going back and forth about with Cam Ward, how there's not enough to really, you know, base true evidence on when it comes to the evaluation process. But to me, I've seen enough. I've seen enough to say I will take Cam Ward over Jalen Hurts when it comes to this offense.
See, I would say that the Titans wide receiver room is semi-unproven. You know, we know on paper what potential Calvin Ridley and Wandale Robinson could be. We don't know what Carnell Tate is going to be. We, on some level, don't necessarily know what Chim DK or Alec Iamanner can provide this year. So I would say they're moderately unproven just because we don't know what they look like under this system. But the same could be said for the Eagles. You know, they're going to be without A.J. Brown, potentially. We know what Devontae Smith is. We don't know what Mekhi Lemon is, and we'll see what it looks like with Eli Stowers at the tight end. He'll probably rotate in at that position. But I would say Jalen Hurts is in a much better situation than the Tennessee Titans are. So it's all about subjective point of views and which system you view better. I view the Eagles system better than the Titans, and I don't necessarily believe that there's any disputing that right now. But in turn, I hope we revisit this conversation in 5 years and we say, yeah, I was wrong. Cam Ward is going to be a much better quarterback than Jalen Hurts ever was in this league. I hope that I'm wrong. But in terms of right now, I would take Jalen Hurts over Cam Ward.
And to state this conversation straight, it's not which quarterback is better right now. It's which quarterback would you rather have? Yeah. And that for me is Cam Ward. And again, to the proven talent point of this, you go and look at the Titans wide receiver room. Chim DK, Alec Iamanner both had really good rookie seasons. One of them, you know, being an all pro in that case. Alec Iamanner developing into a, you know, probably a wide receiver three in this situation. Now bringing in Wandale Robinson and having Calvin Ridley back. Look, having a year with Calvin Ridley and Cam Ward, yes, there was some rapport built on that. Yes, Calvin Ridley had some drops. Yes, he was injured partially of the season. But Wandale Robinson, to say he's not really a proven talent, for me, he's sold me. He's a proven talent. Every single year, his numbers have gone up. You go in 2022, 227 yards. Not much of a big role, but you know, it increases as years go on. 2023, 525 yards. 2024, 699 yards. 2025, when Malik Nabers went down, who was wide receiver one? It was kind of split between Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson, as a slot receiver, a true slot receiver, ends up getting over 1,000 yards last season because Brian Daboll had to rely on the yak yards and had to rely on just Wandale Robinson, the young, fast talent that can get him over the hump. And sure enough, yes, that's what they needed.
Yeah, I say this because proven talent seems to go out the window when you play for the Tennessee Titans at the wide receiver position. I mean, the list goes on. You mentioned, you know, earlier Randy Moss, Julio Jones. DeAndre Hopkins is the outlier, but Calvin Ridley, Eric Decker. proven talent at the wide receiver position goes out the window when you play for the Tennessee Titans. So I say this because I've been burned by it before.
Yeah, but those wide receivers, though, Connor, were on the back ends of their prime. They were on
– Yeah, they were.
They were on the, I'd say, win now level of their careers. You go back and, well, I wouldn't say the Randy Moss era with the Tennessee Titans. That team was just up and down. But you go and look at the Julio Jones era of the Tennessee Titans. That's when A.J. Brown was pleading for Julio Jones to somehow get with the Tennessee Titans, if it was, you know, in the offseason or through trade, whatever it was. And that was something that, at the time, how I perceived it, a way to keep A.J. Brown in the two-tone blue. Because that was, to me, I thought a negotiating tactic to try to keep him the following seasons to come, and that just didn't seem to happen. But that's kind of why you look at Julio Jones and say it didn't work out, because he was a veteran at the time. Those hamstrings were not fully healthy, and you could even include DeAndre Hopkins in this conversation as well. Guys on the back end of their prime hoping to hold on to a window of opportunity with the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel. I think that was the big to-do in Nashville, is that when Mike Vrabel was here, there was a winning window. And I think after that AFC Championship game against Cincinnati here in Nashville, that was the end of it. And it was just trying to keep adding on and rebuilding to it, and it just didn't seem to work out.
Okay, I want to keep this going. Do you want to keep this going?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll keep it going coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who's right? Me or Nick? I say Jalen Hurts right now is a better quarterback, or a quarterback I would more likely Let's try that again. I say that right now, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback I would rather have. Nick Frazier says Cam Ward he would rather have at the quarterback position. We'll continue this conversation coming up next, right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. It sounds a little bit like my daddy. Don't cuss around my mama. Got some words you never heard unless you come from down yonder. The man upstairs missing, so I ain't trying to fix it. No, I can't hide it. I don't fight it. I just roll with it. 615 Golf Tournament might be sold out, but you can still bid on all kinds of awesome experiences to directly support Folds of Honor at 615open.com/auction. Have an unforgettable time while supporting a great cause. 615open.com/auction. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game on this Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. And gentlemen, before we continue the debate, we have an update regarding the Victor Wembanyama Washington Commanders Nationals situation. An update provided to you by one former Tennessee Titan / Baltimore Raven wide receiver that we all know very well. Mr. Derek Mason has texted me. He says, "What in the world is going on here? Ha, 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 ha." So there we go. Derek Mason stands on the side of justice.
I love it. I love it. And again, that's a guy that, like, if you go back and look at jerseys, I'm sure we were talking earlier about the Randy Moss jerseys. Go back and what? The New York Jets, when D Mace was there for a short stint of time, like, go grab a D Mace Jets jersey. That'd be kind of cool.
I think Chase has a game worn one, and I don't know how much that goes for on the open market. I would imagine not very much, but that is still a very you light my fire moment from Derek Mace.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It needs a little Gap Band action.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get that in about 30 minutes.
I was about to say, coming soon.
As we wrap things up later on in the show. But we're talking about sort of a question that I think was indirectly posed yesterday to Nick Frazier by Big Joe. Which quarterback would you rather have right now, Cam Ward or Jalen Hurts? And Frazier says Cam Ward. I say Jalen Hurts. But I think something important that we have to factor in here, Nick, is that if you were to take the two quarterbacks and swap their situations, like we put Cam Ward on the Eagles offense and we put Jalen Hurts here in the Titans offense, would the production stay the same for Jalen Hurts and would it be amplified for Cam Ward? I think that's something we'll never know, obviously, but we could play, I don't want to say revisionist history. We can play pretend here and say that it does happen. Would the production for Jalen Hurts here in Tennessee be the same as it is in Philadelphia?
No, absolutely not. That was actually brought up on the text line yesterday. Somebody, it might have been Jeremy and Clark, so I'll have to go back and look at the text line. But somebody in the text line did say if Jalen Hurts was in Nashville, he would not sniff the playoffs and or a Super Bowl, which I find kind of interesting because, again, I mentioned earlier about this offensive line with Cam Ward. If he can kind of just scrap together like he did last year with this quality wide receiver room, I think he'll flourish. As for Jalen Hurts in this offense, you don't again, he did have Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell a couple years ago, kind of a running back tandem in the backfield. With this Titans offense, you don't really have that. I mean, you have Tajay Spears, but that's kind of being phased out. You don't know what you really have just an unknown evaluation with Nick Singleton in the NFL because he's a rookie. Only proven talent you have at running back is Tony Pollard. So, again, I'm not sure how much you can rely on a guy like Tony Pollard with Jalen Hurts if that were the case. It's a tough thing to really assess and just kind of give a true definition on. It's very tough.
I still think he would be productive here. I think his capability with his legs at the offensive line were to not be up to par with the one he has in Philadelphia, which we know they wouldn't because Philadelphia's probably got the best offensive line in the entire league. I still think his production with his legs would help him out. And one thing that is always praised for Jalen Hurts is his connection with his wide receivers. And yes, I know he's throwing to two pretty much elite wide receivers in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. But I feel like Jalen Hurts is the kind of quarterback that could help elevate Carnell Tate. And that's not to say that Cam Ward can't, because I absolutely think that's the case. I think if you were to put Cam Ward in the Philadelphia Eagles system, his numbers would be amplified because that's such an elite system around him and something that I think he would thrive in as a pocket passer. But if you were to put a scrambling quarterback with a big arm like Jalen Hurts in the Titans system, I think things would work out well for you. I think he would be able to lead you to some wins just because of the the dual threat ability he has of running down the field with his legs, similar to a not quite like Lamar Jackson, but he's close, as well as an accurate arm that he has. So I think if you were to put him in the system here, I think it would work out well for you. I think he could lead you to a playoff series.
Let me ask you this, Connor. When it comes to the tush push that's been, you know, well known for in Philadelphia, does that work behind this offensive line in Tennessee if Jalen Hurts for the quarterback? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think you have to have – the tush push isn't about the quarterback. It's about the elite offensive line play right. You have. And like I mentioned, the Eagles, I think, have the best of the best in the league. You know, teams have tried it across the league and it hasn't worked as well for them just because of their offensive line play. So I know what knowing what we know or what we think we know about this offensive line, we think it's going to be average. Hopefully it is average to below average. But, you know, I don't think it would work well here in terms of that. And, you know, I don't think they would run the tush push that much with Cam Ward just because he's not as lengthy as Jalen Hurts.
No, he's not as strong as Jalen Hurts either. Like that's right. Why I was it's hard to discuss the what if this person was here, what if this person was here, because Jalen Hurts just isn't fit for a Titans offense like this. This is more suitable for a young Joe Fuel quarterback that is Cam Ward, and it fits well with a guy like Brian Daboll. Like if you look at Brian Daboll's offensive coordinator record when he was in Buffalo, it was 34-15, 3-3 in the postseason. To me, when you have a guy like that that you've developed, Josh Allen, that only can you can only imagine what that might be for Cam Ward this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's the offensive line play in terms of the tush push, and I am one that is not saying ban the tush push because I think it's all dependent on the positions of players you have. But I am saying that it needs to be officiated a lot better because you look at the amount of false starts that are not called on those plays, it's bad. So, but to say, you know, in terms of comparing the two quarterbacks, right now, I think Jalen Hurts is the better quarterback. But I don't think it's out of the question to say that Cam Ward, I think, potentially has the higher ceiling and can be a better quarterback when it's all said and done.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously so that Jalen Hurts is the you know, proven quarterback for sure. He's won a Super Bowl. That's great. But like getting back to the original question, like who would you rather have now? I think it's just based off of opinion. And my opinion is Cam Ward. Like,
no,
wouldn't you agree to that as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's a difference of opinion. And I, going into this argument, I didn't expect to come out with a result because I don't think your opinion is going to change. And right now mine's definitely not going to change. I did this to lead this up to the audience to see, okay, what do people think here? And some of you have weighed in, 615-737-1025. Weston Herbitage says, I hear you, Nick. Don't necessarily agree, but I definitely hear you. I hope you are so right. And then, of course, the annual Weston Herbitage Kentucky Wildcats shot. At least I know the Titans will never be as bad as Kentucky. Maybe close, but never worse. Kentucky's going to be pretty good in football this year, Wes. They're going to be all right.
Hashtag feed the studs, Will Stein, baby.
There you go.
Eat the studs.
And one thing I will say about this, I do think a lot of people kind of are like, who was the text? Whoever the text was, I already forgot his name. I'm sorry. But I think a lot of people would agree that, yeah, you could see your argument. I think what makes this a different argument is if this is a ceiling argument, like who has the higher ceiling, I think it's pretty obvious it's Cam Ward.
Right.
It's Cam.
Yeah. But like since it's a current quarterback argument, I agree with Connor last segment where he was saying, you know, we just don't know enough about Cam yet. I mean, you know, based off last year, Cam could easily be a Hall of Famer and the best quarterback in this franchise's history, or he could be, no offense to him because I love him and always will, Marcus Mariota. We really don't know, and we might not know after this year. We just don't know.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to be optimistic about the system around Cam Ward this year. You love the idea of known quarterback guru Brian Daboll, who's developed Josh Allen into an MVP caliber quarterback, actually former MVP. And, you know, you've got receivers around him now. I've been using the term respectable because I don't think they're particularly elite at that facet, but they have a respectable room now. So in terms of the ceiling, like you said, Christian, and like you said, Nick, I think it's Cam Ward. And as Ed Gordo on Twitter says, it's Cam Ward. If you can't see the vision, I can't help you, partner. I'm not arguing that Cam Ward doesn't have a higher ceiling or has a higher ceiling because I think it's true. There's a reason he went number one overall and Jalen Hurts was in the second round. There's no disputing that. But in terms of the quarterback I would rather have right now, in this very moment, like if you were giving me the opportunity to pick one or the other, I would probably go Jalen Hurts right now. That will change, I'm sure, because of the higher ceiling of Cam Moore. But on this day, May 16th, 2026, I would take Jalen Hurts. 615. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and the beauty about this conversation, and again, in week two when this takes place, it's not the who is the better quarterback after week two. It's just you can get a better litmus test of Jalen Hurts or Cam Ward, who would you rather have now? And again, yeah. I think it bodes well for the Titans because, and I was telling this to Christian before the show, the Eagles kind of struggle at the beginning of the season every other year. So this might be something that is a good thing for Cam Ward and the Titans.
They either struggle at the beginning of the year and then get hot at the end, or the opposite. They get hot at the beginning of the year and then struggle down the stretch. There's no in between. So I'm curious to see how that goes for them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll put a pen in that one today. But coming up next, I want to talk a little bit of college football. There's been a narrative put out there. Of course, week three of college football is one of the biggest rivalry games this season, in my opinion. And it's not because of the history between the two teams, but the Magnolia Bowl between Ole Miss and LSU in Lane Kiffin's return to Oxford is going to be a sight to behold. So I've seen it being put out there, mostly by Box Office Falls fans, that this game will not compare to the environment of the 2021 game in Neyland when Ole Miss visited and, you know, the mustard bottles and the golf balls and stuff like that. I want to put that one to rest. We'll come. We'll do that coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game. You got a lot this one, Bill. And here we go. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on this Saturday morning. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. Taking you through things. Words are really hard today. I think it's because I'm at home and you guys are there and I'm feeling lonely.
It's all right, man. We're here for you.
We're here. Don't ever feel alone. You're never alone with us, Connor. Just remember that.
Michael Jackson said you are not alone.
This is true.
Christian, I don't know if you heard Corey Curtis's horrible musical take.
Yeah, apparently he hates Michael Jackson.
Prince.
Not his flavor. Those are his words. It's not his flavor.
Is the first time in human history those words have ever been said.
I guess that's a little bit different than straight up hating him. I guess that's not necessarily a yucking somebody's yum. I learned that phrase recently. I'd never heard it before. How you can yuck somebody's yum? I was like,
I've heard it before.
That doesn't sound PG.
It is if you know you just PG, yeah. You can keep it PG. Yeah. I mean, it could be non-PG if you think about it, but I choose to keep it PG. You know,
everything can be non-PG.
I was about to say it. If you really think about it, yeah.
If Parker Kelly is any indication of that, he thinks everything I say is a double entendre. And I'm like, no, you're just filthy minded.
Well, hopefully Lane Kiffin's not that way.
No. Well, Lane Kiffin is just a weirdo. But speaking of hatred, there is going to be full-on hatred in Oxford, Mississippi, in Vaught Hemingway Stadium, week three of the college football season, as Lane Kiffin and the LSU Tigers return to Oxford to take on the Ole Miss Rebels in the first time Lane Kiffin has come back since leaving for Baton Rouge. So I've seen a lot of this narrative being put out by Box Office Vols fans. And yes, I'm going to continue to call them Box Office Vols fans because I think it's funny.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You can take it however you want, I guess. But they are saying that this environment will never compare to Neyland in 2021. You remember that game when Lane and the Ole Miss Rebels came, and they lost that game, by the way, but the mustard bottles were thrown, the golf balls, all of the trash on the field, and there were some missed calls in that one as well. They're saying this environment will never compare, and my apologies to Vol Nation. This game is going to be 10 times better than that environment because it's new. It's fresh hatred. The Vols game, there's been, 10 years close to of boiled over hatred towards Lane Kiffin. infused in that one. This one is about 6 months of just flat out hatred, new hatred towards Lane Kiffin and how he's acted. And, you know, he's in the media right now flaming Ole Miss for being racist for some reason. And they're not racist and they never have been racist. But, well, that's not true. But he's saying, you know, all these BS excuses as to why he left Ole Miss. And it's firing the fans up. That said, look, I know people drink at football games. Nobody drinks like Ole Miss drinks. Nobody drinks in the Grove like Ole Miss does. Those fans are going to be loud, they're going to be drunk, and they're going to be angry. And those three things are a deadly combination for a powerhouse environment. So I think this is going to be the environment to beat this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's fresh. It's something that a lot of college football fans will rally against. The buildup, I feel like this is already building up to be like a college football playoff atmosphere type game. You look at just how things are on the trajectory of going. If LSU ends up becoming a top team this year, which it seems like it is on paper, and Ole Miss kind of lives up to the expectation of what they were last year of going to the playoff and kind of flourishing in the limelight, this could be a really good game. But it is solely – you know, set upon one of these two teams. If they end up going, let's say they're 500 by the time they play each other, September 19th. So it's what, like the third week into the season, right?
Yeah, it's week three.
Yeah. So, I mean, never mind. So say, let's say if Ole Miss is 0-3 or they're 1-2, and then you have LSU that's 3-0, the fun of this game is going to be a little bit, you know, more on the it's not as what it should have been. You know what I mean? It didn't live up to the expectation. But the fact that you have the Oxford Police Department weighing in as a meme from The Office saying, yay, we're ready for the 6:30 kickoff, I think is hilarious. It just builds more to the storyline of all this. But to the point of Lane Kiffin, and you made just a little glimpse of it about the racism remarks with Ole Miss, he said it was more of like a recruiting – it hindered his recruiting – you know, even, you know, former Ole Miss and LSU head coach Ed Orgeron commented on a local radio show and said that stigma is accurate. Again, that's a guy that's out of coaching. You wonder if those are real remarks. Oh, they are real remarks, but if they're, you know, have a lot of merit behind them. And again, we had a caller last week on Jason McJoe that said it was a former Mississippi State player, played at Mississippi State from 92 to 95, I believe, and said he heard worse things being said to him when he was at Tennessee, when he was, I believe, at Alabama. And then he said there's worse places than Ole Miss to make those remarks. So,
yeah,
again, I'm not saying it's far stretch. Hopefully that is not something that is, you know, something honed in on. My goodness, like Connor said, words are hard.
Yeah. Hopefully that's hard.
Hopefully that's something that's not honed in on going forward and that stigma can kind of change. But I don't think that's one of the primary reasons why Lane Kiffin left. And if that is the case, then it's unfortunate.
No, Lane Kiffin's always searching for a scapegoat. I mean, it's always someone else's fault with him. Like, you know, he's going to throw his, God rest his soul, he's going to use his father as an excuse. He's going to use his family as an excuse. He's going to use, you know, what other people have said, the athletic director. It's always someone else's fault with Lane Kiffin. So I think Ole Miss is going to throw the wrath of God at him when he comes back to Oxford. And the other factor is, you know, who's going to be there that morning. You know, College Game Day is going to be at that game. There's no reason they're not going to, because they don't care how many SEC games they go to this season. They want the top story. And that is going to be on the forefront of everyone's mind that Saturday morning. Ole Miss and LSU play tonight and Lane Kiffin's return. That is, College Game Day is going to be there. So those kids are going to be partying all morning. And again, I'm not shooting down Tennessee because they know what kind of environment they can bring to the party. But that 2021 game is going to look like a county fair when Lane Kiffin shows up at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium for the first time. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One final segment for us here on this Saturday. We'll wrap things up with a little bit of Where Are They Now coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle, 1025 The Game. The greatest iteration of this song of all time, the Tiny Desk performance. It's just so perfect. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 1025 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton with you on this Saturday. And as we wrap things up here on the program, it's time to play our favorite game, America's second favorite game, right behind celebrity birthdays. Where are they now? Gentlemen, another triple threat match. Here we go.
All right. I don't know who's ready to go, but I guess...
you can go.
Okay.
You can go.
I was about to say, go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Eagles have been the narrative today, so I'm kind of sticking with that. Let's see here. Drafted in 2009, second round pick by the Philadelphia Eagles, followed by Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time first-team All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, and yeah.
Quarterback?
No, not a quarterback.
Okay. I know who this is.
Who was the most recent team?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I know who this is. This is former fantasy legend LeSean McCoy.
Ah.
He is correct.
I was going to say, did DeSean Jackson play for the Bucs ever?
Yeah, I think so. Let me look at that.
I think, because that's kind of what I was thinking, but I wasn't ever sure if he ever played for
them. I know he played for the Raiders.
Definitely, yeah.
Let's see here. He played for the Eagles, Redskins, Buccaneers, yep, in 17-18.
Okay, good.
Yep.
I wasn't completely crazy thinking about that. Okay. Well, Connor, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I can go. I actually have three ready, so.
Beautiful.
All right. We're going to the hardwood. Phoenix Suns, Miami Heat, Toronto Raptors, Dallas Mavericks, and finished up with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
What was that first team?
Phoenix Suns.
Matthew Dellavedova.
Okay.
Timothy Mozgov.
You both need to pay more attention throughout the show because this was Clarksville, Tennessee native and UNLV graduate Sean Marion.
Oh, there you go.
Who apparently is the Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator.
Yeah, sorry about that. That was Sean Mannin. Excuse me. Yeah,
nice callback there, though, Connor. That was a good callback.
I took a page out of your book. That's what you do.
I do that quite often. I'm also going to the hardwood. This guy started his career with the Miami Heat, and now is currently with the Detroit Pistons. And he was he was actually undrafted out of the University of Michigan.
Oh, what's his name? The three-point shooter guy. Oh, my goodness. He's on the...
Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Duncan Robinson.
Good job, Connor Newt. I think the reason I thought it... I looked up on SportsCenter. They were showing the highlights of the Pistons game. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. And I was like, okay, yeah, that'll be good. Where are they now? Contestant. Well,
love
contestant.
It.
Answer, I guess, but anyway.
Yeah. All right, back to the gridiron. Drafted in 2002, third-round pick by the Arizona Cardinals, then the Detroit Lions, Oakland Raiders, Miami Dolphins, Carolina Panthers, let's see, San Francisco 49ers, Chicago Bears, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Cleveland Browns, New York Jets, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Houston Texans.
Dude's played for every team.
Just about.
What round did you say he was and what year again?
Third-round pick in 2002, and I will give you a little extra hint. He is a quarterback.
Oh, I'm between two.
And he's also a current coach in the NFL.
Okay.
Okay. Brock Osweiler.
That's a good guess. I don't think he's that old. I don't know. It's not Fitzpatrick because he's...
Again, quarterback's coach.
Quarterback's coach. Okay. I thought you meant... He's like a head coach. Okay, then I'm probably not going to know this like I thought. Oh, Josh McCown.
Whoa, look at that. Pulled it out. There it is.
Came to me like in 2 seconds, but I got there.
Love it. Great.
I don't know where that came from, but I'll take it.
Do we want to go to the gridiron or to the diamond? We haven't gone to the diamond today.
Yeah, go to the diamond.
All right. San Diego Padres, Texas Rangers, St. Louis Cardinals, Washington Nationals.
Is this a pitcher?
It is, in fact, a pitcher.
Oh, man. Padres, Cardinals, Nationals.
Does he currently play for the Nationals?
He does.
Miles Michaelis?
It is, in fact, former Cardinals terrorist, Miles Michaelis.
The Reds just faced him the other day. That's embarrassing. I didn't get that. Man.
He's terrible. Oh, God. Man, I don't miss him at all.
Man. It still wasn't enough for the Reds. We lit him up, and it still wasn't enough because the bullpen. Ah, whatever. Anyway. I guess we got time for one more.
Sore subject for
sore subject. All right. Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
First round pick in 2011.
Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, sir.
Current player or no?
Last year was 2023.
Oh.
Out of Louisiana State University.
No, it doesn't help. Oh, wait. Patrick Peterson.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Yeah, it is Patrick Peterson. Yeah. Good pull. Good pull there. All right, that'll do it for us here today on the Weekend Huddle. For Nick Frazier, for Christian Skelton, my name is Connor Newt. We'll see you next week right here on 102.5 The Game.
See ya.